Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Wednesday, June 18th, and coming up in today's episode. Horrific murder case from Alwar, witnessed by victim's 9-year-old son. PM Modi's stern message to global leaders from G7. Hindi no longer a compulsory third option subject under the three-language policy in Maharashtra. And Iran's warning to Tel Aviv and Haifa residents. And Macron's unwarranted attack comment. Hindi will no longer be a compulsory language in Maharashtra under the NEP 2023 language policy, the Department of Education notified today, but it is still a general subject. Reversing its April notification on the same issue, the Maharashtra School Department has removed the word compulsory from it, which made Hindi a default third language across schools in Maharashtra. This notification reopened the earlier Hindi imposition row, a hot bone of contention against the NEP 2020 by major opposition parties across India, claiming that Hindi is being forced onto them to the detriment of their local languages. The notification prompted fierce protests, the one from April, from opposition Mahavikas Aghadi Alliance and even Raj Thackeray's Maharashtra Nav Nirman Sena, which is generally seen as a friendly force towards the ruling BJP and Mahayuti Alliance. School Education Minister Dada Bhuse said the decision has been stayed, and Chief Minister Devendra Fadnavis declared that only Marathi will be the compulsory language for school students. In yesterday's revised notification, the school department said Hindi would not be compulsory, but it would be generally taught third language from class 1 to 5th, a move Marathi outfits slammed as trying to introduce via the back door after the state's backtrack. Students can, however, opt for other languages if they want. The notification said there must be a minimum of 20 students in a class who want to learn another language. If that threshold is met, the school will make the subject available. If the school cannot find a teacher for that language, classes will be held online, and Marathi remains a compulsory subject for all school students in the state. However, the revised notification has also raised red flags, with educators saying the threshold of 20 students is an unreasonably high number. Vasant Kalpande, ex-chairperson of Maharashtra State Board of Secondary and Higher Education, made that point. Quote, "The provision to make teachers available online is also an attempt to discourage students from opting any other language other than Hindi," he told news agency PTI, adding, "Marathi and Hindi have similar scripts, but it will be much too young for the students to learn both. But it will be too much for the young students to learn both." The three-language policy, under which Hindi is now default third language in Maharashtra, was a part of federal government's revised national education policy in 2020. But non-Hindi dominant states, Tamil Nadu in particular, have been on the warpath, arguing against a policy requirement for students from class 7 and above to learn a third language. The push to learning a third language has been seen as Hindi imposition, given most schools teach English and the state language as the two linguistic subjects. The ruling DMK objected to the NEP on the ground, pointing out its existing two-language policy has served the state, the second largest contributor to national economy, well. The BJP, however, has maintained that its formula will benefit people travelling to other states. It also argued that NEP does not force a student to study Hindi. Prime Minister Narendra Modi was in Canada to attend the annual G7 summit. He addressed important global issues and highlighted the issues of Global South. This is Prime Minister Modi's first visit to Canada since the diplomatic fallout between the two countries, which India's foreign ministry had squarely pinned the blame on Justin Trudeau, former Prime Minister, and the actions taken under his leadership. The relationship between the two countries plummeted after the former Prime Minister lended support to separatists and radical elements against India, as India claims, and Indian interests. India and Canada now aim to iron out differences with Prime Minister Mark Carney, who was elected this year and is now at the helm of Canadian government. The two countries agreed to return ambassadors to each other's capitals as Canada's new leader welcomed Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Prime Minister Mark Carney, who took office in March, invited Prime Minister Modi to the Canadian Rockies as a guest of this G7 summit, PM Carney's predecessor Justin Trudeau last year publicly accused India of involvement in the assassination of a Sikh separatist leader on Canadian soil and expelled the Indian ambassador, triggering a furious reciprocal response from India. The two ministers agreed that the two countries would name a new high commissioner, as ambassadors are known between Commonwealth nations. The two leaders made the decision with a view to returning to regular services to citizens and businesses in both countries, the Canadian Prime Minister's office said in a statement. Amidst other issues addressed by Prime Minister Modi in the discussions, he called out the global double standard on terror, reiterating India's firm stand against terrorism. He urged the countries to act firmly against those who openly promote and support terrorism. PM Modi said that countries that support terrorism must face consequences. For global peace and prosperity, our thought and policy must be clear. If any country supports terrorism, it will have to pay the price, he said. He also pointed out a double standard in international actions. On one hand, we are quick to impose all kinds of sanctions based on our preference. On the other hand, countries that openly support terrorism are rewarded. Notably, President Donald Trump has hosted Pakistan's Asif Munir for lunch today. MEA spokesperson Randhir Jaiswal said in a post on X, PM reiterated India's stand against terrorism and thanked the leaders for condemning the ghastly Pahalgam terror attack. He urged them to galvanize global action against terrorism and underlined the need to take action, strict action, against those who promote and support terrorism. In Alwar, a 9-year-old boy has become a prime witness in the murder of his own father, allegedly at the hands of his mother. He testified to the murder of his father, Viru or Man Singh Jatav, who was murdered by contract killers hired by his wife, engaged in an extramarital affair. According to the child's testimony, his mother left the main gate of the house open deliberately that night. Around midnight, four men accompanied by a man, the child identified as Kashi uncle, later revealed as Kashiram Prajapat, Anita's alleged boyfriend, entered the house. They found Viru asleep in bed and killed him by suffocation and assault. The boy, who was lying nearby and pretending to be asleep, said he saw everything. Quote, I had just fallen asleep when I heard faint sound at the door. I opened my eyes and saw my mother opening the gate. Kashi uncle was standing outside. There were four more people with him. I got scared. I did not get up. I started watching everything quietly. They came to our room. I got up and saw my mother standing in front of the bed. Those people punched him, my father. They twisted my father's legs and also choked him. Kashi uncle had covered his mouth with a pillow. When I reached out for my father, Kashi uncle picked me up in his lap and scolded and threatened me, the boy had said. He added that he became silent out of fear. After a few minutes, his father died and then everyone left. According to the police, Anita and Kashiram had planned the murder in advance. The motive, police say, was extramarital affair. Anita operates a small general store in Kerli, which Kashiram, a local street vendor who sold kachoris, would frequently visit. The two reportedly grew close over time. Anita and Kashiram allegedly arranged for Viru's murder by offering him ₹2 lakh to four contract killers. On the night of June 7th, Anita executed her part of the plan by leaving the main door unlocked. Kashiram arrived at the house on a motorcycle with the hired killers. Viru was attacked in his sleep and pronounced dead the following morning. Initially, Anita told relatives that Viru had suddenly fallen ill. However, the condition of the body, including clear injury marks, broken tooth and signs of suffocation, led to suspicions. A medical examination confirmed that Viru had been murdered. Following a formal complaint by the victim's brother, Gabbar Jatav, police launched an investigation. The police reviewed over 100 CCTV footage slips from the area and analysed call data records. Three individuals, Anita Kashiram and one of the contract killers, Brijesh Jatav, have been arrested. Police are searching for the remaining three accused. Quote, Iran has only launched warnings so far. Punitive attacks are next, unquote, declared Major General Mousavi, Chief of Iranian Army, and issued a chilling warning for Israelis to evacuate Tel Aviv and Haifa to save their lives. He added, and I'm quoting again, the operations carried out so far have been merely deterrent warnings. A punitive operation will be executed soon. Israeli strikes on Iran have reportedly killed at least 585 people and injured 1,326 others, according to Washington-based human rights activist group. Of the disease, the group identified 239 civilians and 126 security force personnel. Meanwhile, French President Emmanuel Macron has called for a ceasefire, going as far as claiming actions against Iran were unwarranted, a direct defiance to US President Donald Trump's claim suggesting the opposite. Iranian authorities, on the other hand, have downplayed casualties. Their last official update on Monday reported 224 deaths and 1,277 injuries, a stark contrast to independent tallies. Amid escalating tensions, Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei took to social media, declaring that the battle has begun. In another post, Khamenei warned, we must give a strong response to Zionist terrorist regime. We will show the Zionists no mercy, he claimed. As Iran reels from what's being called as the most dangerous security breach since 1979 Islamic Revolution, its cybersecurity command has banned officials from using mobile phones and communication devices, according to the reports from Fars News Agency. Iranian media also claimed Israel launched a massive cyber war targeting Iran's digital infrastructure. According to Volatility, Wall Street stocks plunged on Tuesday after US President Donald Trump escalated his rhetoric, calling for Iran's unconditional surrender. In social media posts and hinted at the possible US intervention as fighting entered its fifth day. The Iran-Israel conflict in 2025 is generally seen as a greater escalation of the continuous, decades-long conflict in West Asia, with the most devastating escalation being the ongoing 19-month Israeli military action in Palestine. Iran has long supported Palestine and openly opposed Israel's quote-unquote carpet-bombing style of military action in Gaza and Rafah, which IDF claims is targeted against Hamas as a revenge for October 7, 2023 attack. This ongoing war has killed around 45,000 in Gaza, including women and children, and mostly civilians. In the last 24 hours alone in Gaza, Israeli forces have killed at least 89 Palestinians, including 70 people seeking food aid in the city of Khan Yunis, according to Al Jazeera. Coming back to Iran, Al Jazeera questioned Ismail Baghaei, spokesperson for Iran's foreign ministry on the ongoing conflict. He said, and I'm quoting, Iran is for the time being focused targeting Israeli territory only and that it trusts its neighbors, would not allow the US to use their territory for attacks against it. Quote, we are right now focusing on defending ourselves from the attacks from Israel and that is why we have been very careful, very responsible, very calculated in our response to these attacks. We have targeted military bases, security bases inside occupied lands. So for the time being, we are focused on that. That's all for today. You are listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.